Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I saw this graphic. This is pretty cool. Gavin showed it to me. It's every Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, and then the Thanksgiving and London games. And so what I thought we could do was you could put together like a dream season. Like, okay, and here's what I mean dream season. You're not going to buy season tickets. You're not going to go to a game every week. So what if, just for giggles, you put together a game for each month that you want to go to. That makes sense? All right, I want you guys to all kind of work on it, think about it, and then let me start with this. I was checking this out the other day, and look, I don't think that the NFL has any knowledge or power or whatever over what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers, right? I don't think so. But I do believe that based upon their schedule, and they knew the schedule was coming out now, and the games in terms of who they played and where they played them, that was already set. But there also is something to he's not going anywhere, right? The entire league doesn't depend upon him, but man, you got Sunday night versus the Niners. That's game 3 of the season. You got the first big Fox game of the year. Right? You got first big Fox game, Monday night football game, Sunday night. First 3 weeks of the season, they're in prime matchups. Prime matchups. This is a team that had the best record in the NFC last season, went to the NFC championship game, had home field throughout the playoffs. And I'm not saying that this, because the schedule was essentially already released previously in terms of who they're playing, just not when they were playing them, in what kind of order they were playing them. But the crazy part is no one truly believes that the Packers are going to trade Aaron Rodgers, NFL schedule guys included. That's like just a quick kind of takeaway. You know? There's a big article out, Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers, has out about August 30th, 2018. Aaron Rodgers signed a record extension. Right? There was one ominous remark from Aaron Rodgers. I don't think this guarantees anything other than maybe the first 3 years of the deal. Rodgers is one of those guys that, even if that's the reality of it, right? Even if that's the reality of it. Remember, 2018, they gave him a record-breaking contract. And it's pretty obvious that whatever he wanted in the deal, they gave him in terms of money, wouldn't give him in terms of length, and want to protect themselves after this upcoming season, right? It irked him. And I guess the beauty to Aaron Rodgers is he's the one who will say that it irked him. On the other hand, and this is a really, really important thing, while it may in fact have irked him, who says that when they sign a $134 million contract? You can think it. You might say it to a friend. You might say it to your girl or to your wife or to your agent. But saying it out loud? At your press conference? That's who Aaron is. That's why he's difficult. It's not just his ability to find the negative in the positive, which he did. It's his ability to point out the negative within the positive. Right? Every guy who's ever signed a contract late in their career will say, with the exception maybe of Tom Brady, whose deal clearly gave them an end date, right, that they could have worked through. But every guy says, so happy to make me a Dak Prescott signed a deal that was 4 years in length. Go back and look at the comments that he made after the contract was signed. I'm so happy to be a Cowboy for life. Dak Prescott's a free agent in 4 years. Completely free in 4 years. And he would be in his early 30s. By no means do they own his rights past 4 years, and they, just like anybody else, will have to negotiate. Or maybe they can negotiate an extension while they still have him. Like, all these things could take place. But the point is that Dak Prescott signed a four-year deal in the mid part, early part of his career, and he's like, so happy to be a Cowboy for life. Aaron Rodgers signs a huge contract, biggest in the sport, 3 years ago, and makes sure to point out, doesn't really mean anything about long term. Dude, you're going to be 38 at the end of this thing. You know? So, it's really, really interesting to me how Aaron Rodgers can pick up that negativity. All right, let's get to the crew here. Gavin, let me start with you.
Okay. Week one, I'll be shelling out the $1,000 to see Ravens at Raiders, the first game at Allegiant Stadium. Can't wait. That's going to be an exciting game. Let's go over to week four. I know this isn't exactly, you know, usually you divide up, you know, every quarters of the season, but let's go to week four. Buccaneers at Patriots, easily my most anticipated game of the season. And then week seven, Lions at Rams. Doesn't seem like on the surface there's a lot there. It's actually a double revenge game. You've got Jared Goff. You've got Matthew Stafford. Can't wait for that game. And let's wrap it up. Week 15, Chiefs at Chargers. Hopefully it's playing for the division title. And as a Charger fan, can't wait to see that game.
Okay. Ramos, do you have your schedule?
Well, I didn't spread them out that much. I just looked at the different weeks and thought what were interesting games, even if it's not all the way to week, whatever, 13. So I would say week one, Jets Panthers, you know, Sam Darnold taking on the Jets. Unfortunately, it's not in New York. It's in Carolina, but still, that's interesting to me. Week five.
Remember, these are your dream.
So forget about the weeks. I like that game. That's a good game for me to watch. Week five. I think the two best teams in the AFC, the Chargers, are right there too. Bills at Chiefs. That's going to be one heck of a game to watch.
Game.
Yeah.
Great game.
The Rams and the 49ers. You know, the Rams, 49ers have had a bad. If they're not injured, if the 49ers are not injured by week 10. That's going to be a wonderful game. It could be for the NFC West. Title or those, I think, are the two best teams. Seattle's underneath them, I think, this year. Packers at Chiefs. This could be a Super Bowl preview if Aaron Rodgers is up to par this season. It's in week nine. And then in week three, the Packers go to San Francisco. We know how much trouble Aaron Rodgers has had in San Francisco. That would be a nice revenge game for him to kind of get going if he's having some trouble in the first 2 weeks. So I like those games for the season.
All right, mine's a little. I was thinking a little bit different, and I was thinking about places I want to go see a game, right?
Las Vegas.
I want to see in Vegas. I see one. I got a buddy who lives in Pittsburgh. I've never been to a Steeler game, and this last year we're going to get to see Big Ben. Whether he's good or not doesn't really matter, right? I like to go see one in Vegas, in Pittsburgh, in Green Bay. I've been to New England, but I would like to go to that Tampa New England game, and I'll tell you why in a second. And then I needed one more, and that one can be, you guys can pitch me on a couple of different teams. Let me start with the Steelers, okay? So, look, when you think of the NFL, you think of the Steelers are an iconic brand, an iconic franchise. I think they're going to be good this year because they're never bad with Mike Tomlin. I have no idea what Big Ben has left. So my choices are Raiders. There you got the historic Franco Harris catch. How many times are we going to relive that whole thing? The Bengals, who, of course, are divisional rival, and I do like Joe Burrow and all the talent, but I don't think that's a great game. Broncos, not there yet. Seahawks, maybe. Lions, no. Ravens, okay, I'm in. So in circling back, I would say that the Steeler game I want to go see has to be in the cold. I'm not going to go do the, and they're, it's going, it's Ravens week is the huge, that's a big, that's as big a rivalry as there is in the NFL. So Steelers game I want to go see is December 5th. We got to check that that week off my list as a week I can go see a game.
And you will not be sitting in a box or someplace with.
No,
well, you said cold weather game. I mean, real fans.
He'll be among the commoners.
Well, it's like the NFL voting that Super Bowl to New Jersey.
I'm not Coward here, dude. Like, I'm actually going to a game and staying in a buddy's house. I may be on the field before the game because my buddy knows people and he does well. I'd like to sit in this. I would tell you the box is really cool and you eat really well, and you don't. But you don't really feel like you're at a football game. So likely no. Oh, you know what? I know where the other place I want to go see a game. Where do you think it is? Read my mind, Steve DeSager.
Well, I was going to sell you on the LA Rams new stadium where no fans have been, because then you could get double the choices of visiting opponents, like the Cowboys visit the Chargers there and that Detroit Rams game that was mentioned.
Yeah, I feel like I can go to one of those games kind of whenever. I'll tell you who I really want to see play, and they don't have a good home game. They have a great home game to start their season, but I feel like you got to go in cold weather. Is the Buffalo Bills. So here's the thing on the Buffalo Bills deal, right? Like, they play on Monday night after that Pittsburgh game. How far is it from Buffalo to from Pittsburgh to Buffalo? Anybody know? Does anybody have any idea? No, nobody knows?
Efforting, 230 okay. miles.
That's a long way. But you can fly, right? I just fly. But, of course, weather. It seems like 230 miles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could drive. You could drive it or you could fly it. You go up to Erie, Pennsylvania, right? And then you hang a right on I-90 and you get to Buffalo. I mean, don't you want to go see a Buffalo game and go mingle with the lunatic Bills Mafia?
Sure.
And they're really good. And see them, like, the Sixth, they play the Patriots. Everybody hates the Patriots. Patriots have been their nemesis. To see them vanquish the Patriots would be kind of amazing. So I want to go see a game in Pittsburgh, in Buffalo, in Green Bay. I want to go to that one game in New England, and then in Vegas. Right? So I could, on one trip, I could knock out two of those. You go to the week 4-1 in New England against Tampa. That's three of them. Green Bay, we said you can't go week 4, so I'd go later in the season or go early in the season when they play the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that's week 2. And then in Vegas, you kind of got your pick of the litter in terms of games. The Vegas game I would most like to see, the Raider game I would probably most like to see. Ooh, that's hard, right? Bears would be good. Eagles would be Chiefs. Chiefs.
I just Chiefs think that could be a blowout, though. That game could suck. I just think it'd be cool to go.
Well,
to
they
the
beat.
First
remember,
game.
They beat the Chiefs last year, right?
Yeah, that's true. They did, and then they played them close the second time.
Yeah. DeSager, what's yours?
I would nominate two Ravens home games because they have a Sunday night September Ravens Chiefs, and also a November Sunday night game Ravens Browns. Remember how crazy that was, Ravens Browns last year? And then I know everybody for the month of October would probably nominate Tampa Bay at New England. So to be different, I'll go with the Bills-Chiefs game that I think was mentioned for Kansas City in October. That's a Sunday night game. And I already mentioned earlier in the show for the last month of the season, the Chargers end at Las Vegas to after the new year to, as you mentioned, go to Vegas for the weekend and still see the new stadium and see an NFL matchup. It's all you'd want.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I feel like if I was going to go to a London game, Trevor Lawrence versus Tua, is there's some juice there.
No, there's not.
No. All right. I tried. The Tua thing, it's so sad how it's just not interesting.
It doesn't matter. Like, oh. I'm not going to pay all that money and then go like, what are you going to see? I'm going to go see the Dolphins play the Jaguars. Like, there's a reason we gave that game to England. Nobody here wants it.
Yeah. And Jets-Falcons is the other one, which is... Oh,
Jets-Falcons. How bad is that? Did you guys see Zach Wilson's mom on social media? Yeah. What a disaster. What a disaster.
I don't know what she did. I saw a photo of her. I don't think she was a disaster.
Here's what you should do. You guys review during the break.
Disney.
Yeah, she complained about Disney. But she was also talking about how you need to... she said that Snapchat is for hoes, right?
Hello.
That's what she said, yes. Only she didn't use the slang hoes. She used the whole word, which just felt weird. Like... She is definitely enjoying her newfound attention. in kind of a matter of fact, what? I can't do this? No, you can't. Obviously, that all of this pales in comparison to the biggest game. And here's why I want to go to the Patriots Tampa game. The last revenge game of this elk was Favre visiting Lambeau against the Packers. Have I told you guys this story before? I think I've told it before.
I don't believe so.
Any good stories worth telling twice or you haven't told it before? That's actually Radio 101. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I was at ESPN. Favre is now with the Vikings. Remember when Favre was with the Packers and he retired and then came back and they're like, sorry, dude, sorry, Aaron's team. He's like, all right, I want to be traded to the Vikings. Like, no, we're going to trade you to the Jets. So he played with the Jets. They were 9-3 to start the year. Then he had a torn biceps and he played with it because of the streak, not because of anything else. Played with it. And then the next year he found his way to the Vikings. So here he comes in. Well, John Anderson, who's like the John Anderson and Steve Levy, are like the last of the Mohicans, like Sports Center dudes up in Bristol who've done it forever, are hilarious and really good at it. He's from Green Bay. So his mom, he's like, oh, you can go up there. You can use my mom's ticket. She told me she's never going to go see Brett Favre play in a Vikings uniform. Never, ever. You can sleep in my basement for free. I was like, nah, I'll pay your mama. But she's like, no, you can't. I was like, all right, well, I'll leave some money. Fine. He's like, you can even use our tickets. I was like, this is amazing. So we got closer and closer to it. And then I was thinking about it. And then I was like, John, were you serious about that? He's like, yeah. He's like, but my mom kind of wants to go to the game. See Brett maybe one last time. I was like, no problem. I can get tickets. It's not an issue. And I didn't do it. And if you remember, Favre went in and won the game. I want to be in that atmosphere again in New England. The feelings are a little bit different, but it's still the same. That's the one I want to go see.
You're expecting Tom Brady's, the rogue quarterback you're expecting to win, in other words.
No, I love that energy. It just reminds me of like high school basketball or college football, a big game. Just there's a buzz, there's a hum to it. There's something special about it. I love that. This is Tom Brady Sr., Tom's dad. He called into a Boston radio station to talk about his son returning to Gillette week four.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So wow. It's a pretty fun time.
That's pretty interesting. We're coming up to make it 4-0. It's not bulletin board. Somebody's dad saying they're going to be 4-0 is not exactly bulletin board material, but still fun nonetheless. So that's my dream kind of scenario. Those are the places I want to go see. I've been to plenty of NFL games. I've been to Cincinnati. I've been to the Chargers when they were in San Diego, the Chargers when they were in Carson. I obviously haven't been to the new one. Been to the Raiders in Oakland, the Raiders. Been to the Raiders all over. I've been to Cowboy Stadium, not for a game. I've been to the Vikings new stadium, not for a football game, for a basketball game. Great stadium. But to me, I prefer open air, real football, good football teams. Zero desire to go to Detroit, to Atlanta. I don't even really like the idea of a dome in L.A., although I'm going to go, and it's an incredible place, and the Super Bowl's there.
You can see through the roof, so it's technically a dome. The sun comes through.
It's a dome. Is there a roof?
Rain will not come on the field.
Is there a roof?
But sun will come on the field. People have said it's like playing outdoors.
Yeah, except it's not, right?
Like, well, in the rain aspect, yes. Translucent, though, yes.
Yeah. It's a war of words, not between me and DeSager.
I'm just saying, don't pair it with Detroit Stadium, for example.
No. I understand that. It's a $6 billion stadium. I'm sure it's ridiculous. And right now in Los Angeles, it's probably underpriced, right? It's probably under market value considering how expensive.
Well, that's the whole complex. I mean, they built their own lake outside. It's going to be an Olympic venue.
Was that necessary? Was the own lake necessary? Like, couldn't we have gotten more parking, more Uber, things like that?
Actually, I believe that outside will also be an Olympic venue. They're going to have the archery there is the idea, with shooting the arrows over the lake and create their own grandstand outside, plus Olympic opening ceremonies inside.
I know, it's going to be amazing. That's Steve DeSager.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, it's on? Doug Gottlieb Show? Rest in peace to Shock G. Oh, yeah. That was a good break. This was Teddy Bridgewater earlier this week.
Is things that, you know, you can do better as well. But I'll just say this for Joe Brady's growth, that organization, they'll have to, like, just practice different things, you know, in different ways. Like one of the things we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice 2-minute, really. We didn't practice red zone. You didn't practice on Fridays there, but you walk through, like, you walk through the red zone stuff. And then Saturday you come out and practice red zone, but you only get like 15 live reps, and guys' reps will be limited.
So obviously there's a difference in philosophy based upon how Teddy's always done it, right? He did start by saying they didn't practice red zone. Then he said we walked through red zone on Friday and we got some red zone reps, but they were limited on Saturday. Matt Rhule says when you have 140 guys in the locker room, guys will disagree on some things sometimes. You can't ask everyone to agree with everything. But I feel really good about what we do, and I want to make sure that I say I feel really good about the way we practice and our process. I'm disappointed to hear he didn't feel the same way. Look, I think that Rhule has done just about everything right? Like he's done, and part of it is you get a pass. Like you're new, you're fresh blood. He's a great people guy. People seem to really, really like him. That said, they did go out and sign Teddy Bridgewater and then ditch Teddy Bridgewater just one season in. Right? That did, in fact, happen. It absolutely happened. So, you know, in terms of their evaluations on quarterbacks and the Teddy Bridgewater deal, much like the Sam Darnold deal, was essentially a 2-year deal. So I just think that nothing that Teddy said. Do I think Teddy's got some bitterness there? Probably, yeah. But as a guy who's played in the league, as long as he's played in the league, playing for some pretty good coaches, it could be really, really valuable feedback. Kind of an odd place to do it, but he was obviously talking to another guy who got what was missing in that.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I'm a terrible human being. Probably going straight to hell for something I texted a friend. Brandon Whedon joining us. Former Cowboy. Dallas Cowboy as well. Oklahoma State Cowboy. Browns. Texans. Joins us fresh off the golf course. Going to the golf course. Give me the update.
I'm actually on the road headed back from Carson Creek. I came up to Carson and Stillwater this morning and played 18 holes. Got my keep kicked in and now making that, you know, whatever it is, 50, 55-minute trek south. Just kind of kicking myself in the butt.
All right, good. Well, we'll keep you occupied as you keep others occupied driving around the country. I want to play for you what Teddy Bridgewater said about Joe Brady and some adjustments he thought he needed. You started in the league for all three franchises you played for. Take a listen to what he said he found odd about their game prep.
As an organization, it's things that, you know, you can do better as well. But I'll just say this for Joe Brady's growth, that organization, they'll have to, like, just practice different things, you know, in different ways. Like one of the things we didn't do much of when I was there, we didn't practice 2-minute, really. We didn't practice red zone. You didn't practice on Fridays there, but you walk through, like, you walk through the red zone stuff. And then Saturday you come out and practice red zone, but you only get like 15 live reps and guys' reps will be limited.
Again, you play three different organizations. So he said they just walk through red zone stuff on Friday, limited reps on Saturday. How different is that from any of the spots that you were starting quarterback at?
Yeah, I saw that Teddy said that. I'll be honest, I've never heard of such a thing. As we all know, the NFL games, I mean, just look at the spreads. I mean, they're all pretty much within the score. So, you know, 2-minute, there's a lot of times where either before the half or obviously at the end of the game where 2-minute becomes crucial on both sides, offensively and defense. But you got to get a stop on defense. You got to go down and get some points. So, those are the most in my opinion, I mean, red zone, you know, once you get in there, I mean, I got so frustrated early on in my career is I didn't feel like we were very, very good in the red zone. I thought we were a little vanilla, and we didn't, you know, we practiced it, but it was, you know, sometimes it may be 7-on-7, and then sometimes we'd go team. But, you know, for the most part, we always, always on Fridays for sure hit both of those, 2-minute and red zone. And especially in Cleveland, especially in Dallas, and even more so probably in Houston even. But, yeah, I saw that. I couldn't believe it. I you know, Joe Brady's obviously coming from college. College, I don't remember doing a ton of 2-minute just because our offense was essentially a 2-minute type offense. We played so fast, so we didn't really have to really, I wouldn't say work on it as much. But you get to the NFL, man, when you go from huddling to, you know, to now you're signaling and you're on the ball and you're different formations, I mean, that's a big deal. It's tough, and you got to practice it. So I can see why he's frustrated. That's tough. You're a quarterback and you got to go out in the game. You're doing it for the first time. That's hard, man. I mean, because you can get a lot of tendencies in those 2 minutes from what defenses are doing. But if you're not studying it, you're not working it, and that makes it.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, I mean, I actually think that's really good feedback. I listen to it, because the NFL practices I've been to on a Friday, they do all, it's almost all situational stuff, isn't it? Like, right? Like, and in the 2 minute. I thought that was what everybody does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no pads. I mean, we always call it Fast Friday. So, you know, you get in there, you got your play scripted, and you want perfect plays. I mean, you don't want many balls on the ground. You want big situational days. I mean, even if you're not mad, you can still do 2 minutes. I mean, you don't have to be in shoulder pads and obviously your helmet. But, yeah, I mean, Friday's really your last kind of dress rehearsal before you go out on Sunday and let it rip. You know, Saturday's kind of a walk-through roll call, you know, for special teams, and you may walk through a few plays, maybe a few openers, but Saturday's kind of a hat on backwards, tennis shoes, you know, have sunflower seeds in, the whole deal. Whereas Friday, I mean, Friday's still a work day, and that's the day, in my opinion, you kind of cross all your T's and dot all your I's, and you really kind of break down again that 2-minute red zone, especially because, I mean, that's where games are won and lost. On both sides of the ball, and you know, for an NFL team not to practice, that's kind of mind blowing. I'm sure people that saw it were pretty caught off guard, because I would say there's not very many teams that don't practice. I mean, it's kind of become a common deal, and I would say majority of teams, you know, kind of have the routine, and both of those things are kind of part of the routine.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We got a ton of things to get to. Let me get into the schedule, okay? Schedules released and fans freak out. Did you ever look at your upcoming schedule when it dropped?
Yeah. You take a peek on it, but I mean, you know, I mean, and I don't want to sound cliche, but I mean, you're kind of worried about the first one. It's like, all right, you got to start off on a good note, right? Here. You know, who we open up with and where's that? And then after that, you kind of see where your division falls. Usually they try to, you know, make those little, you know, rear end loaded. That way, any implications as far as division goes can kind of be made on, you know, week through, you know, 15 through 17, if you will. You definitely take a peek at it. Obviously, it's an exciting time for fans, and you know, you start buying your tickets and all that stuff. But yeah, as a player, you absolutely do.
Did you get any revenge games? Like when you're in Dallas, did you get to play Cleveland? When you're in Houston, did you get to play Dallas or Cleveland?
Trying to think. Not really. I say that I wasn't even playing, but I was in Tennessee, and we played Houston twice. And Houston, and I won't get into the whole story, but I wasn't very happy with Bill O'Brien. We had a good conversation, and he kind of went against his word, and so I was a little bitter. I'll be honest. I went to the defense. I gave him every bit of information that I had as far as I gave as much as I could without screwing him up. And I mean, I wanted to beat Houston so bad that year in 2017. I would say that was really the only game that I was like, you know, kind of chomping at the bit to go play. Not heck, I wasn't even playing. I was over on the sideline, but I was yelling out routes and I was yelling out, you know, they'd hit signal a route off and I'd be telling the corner, you know, what the route was. And, you know, I wanted to beat those guys because that's just kind of the way the league is.
Wait, so what happened with Bill O'Brien? You got to tell us the story now. You opened the door. Sorry. You opened the door.
Yeah, so we're at training camp. We're up at the Greenbrier, and he pulled me aside, and he said, hey, man, I'm just going to tell you, you're having a great camp. You've done everything we've asked of you. You played well in the – I can't remember. I think we played one game. I played pretty well, and I had done well in practice. And obviously – brought Deshaun in. Deshaun was the first-round pick, so we had a good relationship early on. And basically, he told me, he's like, you know, you got a spot on this football team. I want you to keep doing what you're doing. I want you to kind of take Deshaun on your wing and kind of, you know, be the pro in the room. And once cut day came, I was at the house. I went out with a few buddies the night before, felt pretty good about it. And I get a call the next morning that basically he wanted to see me, and he cut me, and I was pissed. And I ended up getting picked up, I think it was week two or week three, by Tennessee. And we got a chance to play those guys twice. And then I ended up re-signing there. So we kind of squashed it out. But I told them I thought it was a crock of crap. And I didn't say that. I used a few choice words and told them I thought it was just kind of bush league the way he did it. And, you know, if you weren't certain, you can keep that to yourself. You don't have to tell me. I'm a grown man. I can take it. But me and my wife – moved the kids down. We had just got signed the lease on a place. We got everything moved in. We got settled, and literally 3 days later, we had to move everything out. So it was more of a pain in the ass than anything. And it is what it is now. But I was pretty bitter for a little while.
Okay, I'll give you mine. Obviously, far less decorated, not at the same level. But my first year out of school, I went to training camp in the CBA with the Idaho Stampede. And Brian Gates had been my coach in the USBL in Enid, Oklahoma. And so Brian Gates was an assistant. So he was the one who was like, bro, you got to come out here. Boise is amazing. You know, you just got married. You can live out here. It's great. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we need a point guard. I was like, well, you guys drafted Aubrey Reese, who's like from Murray State. He's like, yeah, he's got a bad ankle. I don't know. You're different. Aubrey's a scorer. You guys can play together. And then they had Darren McClinton, who's a buddy of mine. I played with in the USBL. So I show up and there's 13 point guards, right? And they're only keeping two, and Aubrey's hurt. So he's probably not going to even make the, you know, he'll be on IR. Anyway, you know, I get down to where we're the final two. So he calls me, this is 2 days before the season's going to begin. And he calls me in my, cause we're in the same hotel. He's like, hey man, my girl, lives, you know, in Oklahoma City. I know you guys are there. Does Angie want to share a U-Haul, move your stuff out here? I was like, yeah. So I hang up and I call and I'm like, we're set. It's done, right? We have team pictures. Team pictures. Take team pictures. And I remember we used to do this thing where we were on the way to practice every day. We'd look in the back of the Idaho Statesman and we look at the transaction wire and somebody get cut in the NBA and we joke around like, oh, he's going to take somebody's job. And I remember there's a point guard named Randy Livingston. Randy was the National High School Player of the Year. He was the next Magic Johnson, 6'5 point guard. He tore his knee at LSU before he even got to LSU at a camp. And so he had bounced around in the NBA. He was a much better player than me. And he'd played, you know, probably four or five years in the league before I ever even, you know, got to the CBA. And so I was joking, he's going to take somebody's job. We got done taking team pictures. I just had the phone call where he said, share the U-Haul, whatever. And I see Randy Livingston, like, walking down the hall. We go to a preseason game against College of Southern Idaho. I don't play a minute, and I thought I was fighting for a starting spot. And it wasn't until the next day they called me and go, yeah, we're going to cut you. So not as bad as your head coach in the NFL, but, man, that is a bad feeling when you tell everybody, like, we're good. No, they told me we're good, and then you're not good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a business. I get it, but, God, it's shady, man. I mean, you're never safe. You know, it's basketball is, I'm sure, the same way. But good Lord, I mean, you know, you got a family. You know, if I was single, I'd be like, oh, who cares? I'll fly home and call it good. But God, I have two young kids and got them all the way down there and the whole deal. And
Now let's pack up. Let's drive 10 hours home with the middle of you all. It's like, oh, my God.
Here we go. Most important, most important question. What'd you shoot today?
I shot 78 with 4 3 putts. You play Carson Creek. So they're hosting the regional next week. They've got that thing so damn mean. The greens are nasty. Oh, my God, 13. I'm not a great putter to begin with, but, yeah, I had 4 3 putts and shot 78.
All right, Schlotkin, go back to the golf course. Go back to the golf course and work on your putts. Drive it safe. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, buddy. See you, man.
All right, the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Our guy Brandon Whedon, who always joins us.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.